نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. آمين يا رب العالمين. Just 21 سورة الأنكبوت آية number 45. أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Recite, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what has been revealed to you of the book and establish prayer. Indeed, prayer prohibits immorality and wrongdoing, and the remembrance of Allah is greater, and Allah knows that which you do. This is a brief and comprehensive formula for the reform of people. The first part of it of this is, recite what has been revealed to you of the book, the Quran. In fact, it is the Quran which teaches us Islam. It is the Quran that connects us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the spirit and foundation of every single thing. The very basis of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this. It is the Quran. What is the next thing? Allah says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish prayer. إِقَامَ قِيَام is to protect and to say your salah at its proper times, to understand the salah and to have khushu and khudu and know that we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah tells us the effect of salah. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى. Indeed, salah prevents anil fahsha'i, from immorality, wal munkar, and wrongdoing. Munkar means all kinds of wrongdoing, evil acts. It covers fahsha as well. But why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always highlight fahsha? Because many societies will admit that lying, cheating, stealing, murder, robbery, all of those are munkar. But perhaps they might not view al fahsha as munkar. Maybe fahsha is a part of society and people have become so used to it that they do not feel there's anything wrong with it. And then finally, the concept of immorality and fahsha diminishes and leaves. The question to ask for ourselves is, why does salah not have that effect upon us? When we see most Muslims praying today and attending masajid regularly, how is it that we continue to do evil things? The first thing to remember is that we are sinful people. Human beings are created to sin. We are created to commit mistakes. So what is this in reference to? This is in reference to great sin. Not the little small mistakes we make here and there, but consistent sins, habitual sins. So Allah tells us that salah prevents a person from committing sins, provided that the salah is not offered just for the sake of offering, meaning it's not just a simple habit, or because other people were praying and we joined salah and were neglectful of our salah. One should offer salah strictly in accordance with the wordings of the Quran. That is for its iqama, meaning establishment. And the meaning of iqama again is to perform it both inwardly and outwardly, with the manners and the actions, the way the Prophet ﷺ used to perform it with. All along his life, he stressed that the body, clothes, place of offering prayer should be clean, offering prayer in congregation, and to perform all the actions in line with the sunnah are the outward actions of the salah. As for the inward actions, one should stand in prayer with fear of Allah, humility, in a manner as if we are begging from Him. The one who establishes prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala graces him with divine help to be righteous, to keep away from all types of sins. And if someone does not get rid of sins despite offering prayers, then there has to be some flaw in the prayers. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the sense of this verse, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. He said, if anyone's prayer did not stop him from his sins, then his prayer is nothing. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was of the view that such a prayer takes a person even further away from Allah. What kind of prayer? The prayer that does not make him do righteous deeds, the prayer that does not prevent him from sins. Abu Huraira reported that someone asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, a person offers tahajjud at night and steals after the daybreak. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, the prayer will soon desist him from stealing. Which means if a person strives to concentrate in salah, if a person tries to have khushu in salah, if a person tries to be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him that conscience and that strength and the opportunity to stay away from sins, because the guilt would become too great. However, when hearts become hard, then nothing matters, like the salah of the hypocrite. They would continue to say salah, but it was difficult for them. They did not want to do salah. So my litmus test of my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the salah and my attitude toward the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran how people who are truly affected by it feel. So I have to see, I have to check myself. How do I feel when I listen to the Quran? How do I feel in a gathering of the Quran? And how do I stand up for salah? Am I eager for it? Or is it hard for me? Do I feel lazy? Is it difficult? Does my mind wander during salah? And I want to get it over with quickly? Subhanallah, may Allah forgive all of us. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. So in order to reform myself, I have to do three things. Two of them we have discussed already. Recitation of the Quran, and then concentrating and establishing salah. The third one is, Allah says, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The greatest thing is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, فَاسْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I will remember you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, keep your tongue moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr includes tasbih. Dhikr includes dua, istighfar. Dhikr includes talking to Allah in your own language. Dhikr includes remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah the Most High said, I am as my servant expects that I am. I am with him when he mentions me. If he mentions me to himself, I mention him to myself. And if he mentions me in an assembly, I mention him in an assembly greater than it. If he draws near to me a hand's length, I draw near to him an arm's length. And if he comes to me walking, I go to him at speed. Allahu Akbar. This is from Sahih Bukhari. Allah says in Surah Al-Ahzab, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And those men who mention Allah often, and the women, Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, for everything there is a polish, and the polish for the hearts is a zikr of Allah. There is nothing more potent in saving a person from the punishment of Allah than the zikr of Allah. It was said, not even jihad in the path of Allah. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, not even if you were to continue striking with your sword until it breaks. And the best zikr is La ilaha illallah. After giving us this formula, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu ya'alamu ma tasna'un. Allah knows that which you do, but tasna'un is different from ya'malun. Ya'malun is an action, a simple action, it can be anything. But tasna'un is from aswad, noon, and ayn. Sana'a means to manufacture. Meaning, what do you work hard at? Where do you put all your energies? And what do you design and fabricate or construct? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are we constructing our future? Are we constructing our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we building that bridge? Or are our energies involved in something else? In the next ayah begins, juz number 21. وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ and do not argue with the people of the scripture except in a way that is best. أَلَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ except for those who commit injustice among them. Speak to the people of the book about your religion in the most excellent manner. Do not lose your temper, do not become impatient, and do not denounce their beliefs. This is an order from Allah. Allah says, but you can take an exception with people who actually commit injustice among them, dhulm upon you. Allah says, and say, we believe in that which has been revealed to us and revealed to you, meaning we believe in everything that was revealed to you as well. We are very open-minded and open-hearted. And Allah says, then say, and our God and your God is one. We believe in the same God, and we are Muslims in submission to Him. Allah has given us guidance in the Quran that is so relevant even today. Because nowadays, what do people say? That Muslims worship some other God. SubhanAllah, there is no other God in existence except the One. So we have to explain to people that we believe in what was revealed to us, and we also believe in what was revealed to you, and we actually worship the same God. Allah says, and thus we have sent down to you the book, meaning the Quran, and those to whom we previously gave the scripture believe in it, and among these people of Makkah are those who believe in it, and none reject our signs, none reject our verses, except the disbelievers. And you did not recite before it any scripture, nor did you inscribe one with your right hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what he said just now, everybody knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no information of any other previous scripture. He had not written, said anything like this before. And he could not write this either. This was amazing, beautiful, perfect, unique kalam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not write. They knew that. Allah says, then the falsifiers would have had cause for doubt. Meaning, if you had been able to do any of those things before, they knew you to do such things before, yes, they could be in doubt. Rather, it, meaning the Quran, is distinct verses preserved within the chests of those who have been given knowledge. And none reject our verses except the wrongdoers. Where is the Quran preserved? بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ These are clear ayat in the hearts of people. The hearts of people recognize these as clear ayat. And they preserve these ayat. And this is real knowledge. Real knowledge, the people who have been given knowledge, ilm, are the people who preserve the ayat of Allah in their hearts. They live by them. They are led by them. Allah says, and none reject our verses except the wrongdoers. But they say, why are not signs sent down to him from his Lord? Say, the signs are only with Allah, and I am only a clear warner. And is it not sufficient for them that we reveal to you the book? Meaning the Quran, which is recited to them. Indeed, in that is a mercy and reminder for a people who believe. Say, sufficient is Allah between me and you as witness. He knows what is in the heavens and earth. And those who have believed in falsehood and disbelieved in Allah, it is they who are the losers. And they urge you to hasten the punishment. And if not for the decree of a specified term, punishment would have reached them. But it will surely come to them suddenly while they perceive not. They urge you to hasten the punishment, and indeed hell will be encompassing of the disbelievers. On the day the punishment will cover them from above them and from below their feet, and it is said, Dhuqu, dhuqu ma kuntum ta'amaloon, taste the result of what you used to do. Ya ibadi alladhina amanu, inna ardi wasiatun, فَإِيَّايَ فَعْبُدُونَ O my servants who have believed, indeed my earth is spacious, so worship only me. Meaning if people turn you away from my worship, if people oppress you because of my worship, Allah says, migrate, leave that earth. Allah says, my earth, أَرْضِي, It belongs to him, all of it. Every single corner, every lot, every acre, every inch belongs to Allah. It does not really belong to the people or the nations that use it. There are two risks involved with hijrah. The first one is possibility of death, possibility of being caught by adversaries on your way out. So Allah tells us in the next ayah, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul will taste death. Then to us you will be returned. It is not the trait of a Muslim to be afraid of death, because despite all possible defenses one may arrange, death will overcome. And it is also a part of believer's faith that death cannot come before the time Allah has determined. The place has also been determined by Allah. So fear of death should not be in an impediment in one's decision about staying at a certain place or leaving it. And if death comes during the course, Allah says what? In the next ayah, He tells us, and those who have believed and done righteous deeds, we will surely assign to them of paradise elevated chambers beneath which rivers flow, wherein they abide eternally. Excellent is the reward of the righteous workers. Ni'ma ajrul amilin amal. Who have been patient and upon their Lord rely. Alladhina sabaru wa ala rabbihim yatawakkalun. Because that required a lot of patience, lot of perseverance. Allah then says, and how many a creature carries not its own provision? Allah provides for it and for you, and He is the hearing, the knowing. This is the second risk involved in migration. How does one manage one's own sustenance? Your employment is at risk, your trade is at risk, or your cultivation is at risk. How would you find a job in the new company? How would you find a place to stay? Would your family be able to settle down? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that it is Allah who provides for His creation. There are countless creatures of Allah who do not collect their food for the next day, nor do they have the means to do so. It is stated in hadith that all the birds set off from their nests at dawn in a state of hunger, and they return in the evening satisfied. They all get their sustenance daily from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all risk, of all sustenance. Again, it requires what? Sabr and tawakkul. Patience, perseverance, and trust in Allah. At the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in Mecca, the Muslims could not be Muslims. Simply to say La ilaha illallah meant that their names had been written down on a target list. Now, alhamdulillah, we are free to be Muslims. Wherever we live, because Allah's promise was true, that very place where the early Muslims were opposed was conquered by the Muslims, was conquered by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the kuffar had to leave that place. That is the sunnah of Allah. So Allah tells us, and He encourages believers, if you ask them, the disbelievers, who created the heavens and earth and subjected the sun and the moon, they would surely say Allah. Then how are they deluded? Allah extends provision from whom He wills of His servants and restricts for him. Indeed, Allah is of all things knowing. However, remember in the very beginning of this surah, Allah says, حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people imagine that they will be left alone because they have said we believe and they will not be tested? So these difficulties, challenges are a way for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test us. If a person gives up their deen and does not move away, becomes a non-Muslim, becomes a murtad, and continues to live in that land where they were oppressed, Allah tells us in the Quran, the angels will ask him, was not Allah's earth vast enough for you to move? You had the choice, you could have moved. But then, we compromise our religion for material gain all the time. May Allah forgive us and increase our faith. Ameen. Allah says, and if you ask them, who sends down rain from the sky and gives life thereby to the earth after its lifelessness, they would surely say Allah. Say praise to Allah, but most of them do not reason. And this worldly life is not but diversion and amusement, and indeed the home of the hereafter, that is the eternal life, if only they knew. This world, the life of this world, is a mirage. It's almost as if it's not real. The real life is in hereafter. Allah says, and when they board a ship, they supplicate Allah, they make dua to Allah, sincere to Him in religion. But when He delivers them to the land, at once they associate others with Him, so that they will deny what we, Allah says, have granted them, and they will enjoy themselves. But they are going to know, Allah warns them. Mukhlisin Allahuddin. Ikhlas comes when a person is in dire straits, and at that moment they only remember Allah. But Allah says that when He delivers them, they forget Him. Have they not seen that we made Makkah a safe sanctuary, while our people are being taken away all around them? Meaning people are being killed, taken captive. All of the kuffar are being affected by Islam. Allah says, then in falsehood do they believe, and in the favor of Allah they disbelieve. Allah is saying they don't see the signs that their influence in that area is being reduced bit by bit. And who is more unjust than one who invents a lie about Allah or denies the truth when it has come to him? Is there not in hell a sufficient residence for the disbelievers? وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And those who strive do jihad for our sake, really strive for the sake of Allah. We will surely guide them to our ways, the various ways and means to attain the acceptance and pleasure of Allah. Allah will guide such people who are ready to tire themselves, who are ready to really work hard. Put in some muscle power, some sweat into this. Allah says, and indeed Allah is with the doers of good. How beautiful is that? وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Muhsin, Ihsan, the one who works at the level of excellence, beauty, is to work hard, to be ready, to spend our energies for the sake of Allah, to be ready to be tired, and to be ready to experience that pleasure. اللهم اجعلنا منهم آمين يا رب العالمين. Surat Ar-Rum. Ar-Rum means the Romans. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Ghulibat ar-Rum. Alif Lam Mim. The Romans have been defeated in the nearest land, but they, after their defeat, will overcome within 3 to 9 years. Let's read a bit of the background. At that time in the world, there were two superpowers, Iran and Rome, the Persians and the Romans. The Persians worshipped fire, and the others were Christian. The polytheists were closer to the Persians. Muslims were closer to the Romans because they felt an affinity to them. A few years after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became the messenger, the Persians overcame the Romans in a fight, which pleased the polytheists. At this point, these ayat were revealed. Upon hearing these ayat, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to the marketplace in Makkah and announced that there was no reason for the polytheists to be happy, because after a few years, the Christians, the Romans, would overcome the Persians again. Hearing this, Ubay ibn Khalaf challenged him and said it could not be so, and that he was telling a lie. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O enemy of Allah, you are a liar. I am willing to bet on this issue that in case if the Christians would not overcome the Persians in 3 years' time, I will give you 10 camels. And if they did overcome, then you will have to give me 10 camels. A point to note here is that gambling had not been prohibited as yet. Now, after saying that, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him the whole episode. On that, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him that he did not fix the time of 3 years because Quran used the word bid'i sinin, a few years, under which the time limit could be anything between 3 to 9 years. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu to go back to the person with whom he had made the bet and ask him that he would bet for 100 camels instead of 10, but the time limit would be 9, and according to some other reports, 7 years and not 3. Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu followed the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Ubay ibn Khalaf also agreed to the terms of the bet. The various narrations say that this incident with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had happened 5 years before the Hijrah. After the passage of exactly 7 years, at the time of the Battle of Badr, the Romans defeated the Persians. By that time, Ubay ibn Khalaf had died. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu demanded 100 camels from his heirs, according to the terms of the bet, and this became a debt, to which they complied, and they handed over the agreed number of camels. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took those camels to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who asked him to give them in charity. And to reiterate, in the Medina era, especially in Surah Al-Baqarah, the ayat forbidding gambling completely were revealed. The victory of the Romans, that the Quran was truly miraculous, because this was a prophecy that came true in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the kuffar themselves saw the outcome of these ayat coming to fruition, because Allah says very clearly, the Romans have been defeated in the nearest land, but they, after their defeat, will overcome within 3 to 9 years. To Allah belongs the command before and after, meaning whatever happened before was also a command of Allah. What has happened now is also the command of Allah. And when the Romans win, Allah says, and that day the believers will rejoice in the victory of Allah. So Allah's victory was given to the people of the scripture over the fire worshippers of Persia. And this was also an indication to the disbelievers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to give victory to the believers as well, to the Muslims as well. Allah says, He gives victory to whom He wills, and He is exalted in might, the merciful. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ They know what is apparent of the worldly life, but they, of the hereafter, are unaware. They can only see what is in front of their eyes. They have a superficial approach to life. They cannot see what is beyond that. Do they not contemplate within themselves? Meaning, do they not think about themselves, how they are made? Allah says, Allah has not created the heavens and the earth and what is between them except in truth and for a specified term. And indeed, many of the people in the meeting with their Lord are disbelievers. Why? Because they do not ponder. They do not really spend any time thinking about themselves. If they just looked at their hands and the way their fingers are and the way the fingernails grow, who makes them grow? Who designed it like that? Allah says, have they not traveled through the earth and observed how was the end of those before them? They were greater than them in power, and they ploughed or excavated the earth and built it up more than they, meaning more than the Meccans, have built it up. And their messengers came to them with clear evidences. Allah says, the Quraysh are nothing. Allah has destroyed nations that were much more powerful than them. And then He says, and Allah would not ever have wronged them, but they were wronging themselves. Then the end of those who did evil was the worst consequence, because they denied the signs of Allah and used to ridicule them. وَكَانُوا بِهَا يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ اللَّهُ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ Allah begins creation, then He will repeat it, then to Him you will be returned. And the day the hour appears to the criminals, they will despair. And there will not be for them among the alleged partners any intercessors, and they will then be disbelievers in their partners. They will stand in shock, silent, in despair, unable to present any evidence for themselves. Allah says, and the day the hour appears, that day they will become separated. Separated from whom? From those they thought would intervene for them. And as for those who had believed and done righteous deeds, they will be in a garden of paradise delighted. But as for those who disbelieved and denied our verses and the meeting of the hereafter, those will be brought into the punishment to remain. فَسُبْحَانَ hina tusmuna wa hina tusbihun. So exalted is Allah when you reach the evening and when you reach the morning, and to Him is due all praise throughout the heavens and the earth. And exalted is He at night and when you are at noon. Remember Allah at all times of day. Allah is already exalted because of who He is, not because any creation does tasbih of Him. But Allah also tells us that all creation of Allah continuously does His tasbih, praises Him, exalts Him. But Allah is praised and He deserves praise because of who He is. It is not the creation's tasbih. It is not the dhikr, the praise of the creation that makes Allah great. Allah is great because of Himself and His attributes. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَيُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا وَكَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ He brings the living out of the dead, and brings the dead out of the living, and brings to life the earth after its lifelessness, and thus you will be brought out. And of His signs is that He created you from dust. Then suddenly you are human beings dispersing throughout the earth. And of His signs is that He created for you from yourselves mates, that you may find tranquility in them. So why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made mates for us? So that we can find peace. So having a spouse is a way to find peace in this world. Allah says, and He placed between you affection and mercy. So the first thing we learn is that the concept of couples is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed. He placed that need in us, and He also sent us injunctions and rules on how to acquire that relationship, because illicit relationships are not covered in this. The couples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about are ones that are set up in marriage. The relationship is established through marriage. The next thing we learn is that the main purpose behind finding a spouse for yourself or for your child is to find tranquility. Find someone who can give them a tranquil life. Or find for yourself somebody who can give you a tranquil life. It might not be super passionate or dramatic, because that is what we're used to seeing in movies and soap operas, subhanAllah. Tranquility. And know that when you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself will place what? Mawadda and rahma between you. He will cause you to love each other. He will cause you to like each other. And He will cause you to have mercy upon each other. So it might not be raging passion, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that you will have and you should have affection for one another, and you will have and you should have mercy for one another. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought. And of His signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the diversity of your languages and your colors. Indeed, in that are signs for those of knowledge, for people who know ilm, the way we communicate, the differences in our colors. Despite the same heritage, we recognize certain modes of behavior, certain cultural forms are similar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, have you ever wondered why your skin colors are different? Have you ever wondered why your languages are different? The script is different. But sometimes the script, the letters are the same, but the letters are placed in a completely different way. Did we realize that all of this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He has purposely made the world very diverse. And He has not made the world diverse so that we can discriminate against each other. He has not made us different so that we can look down upon others. He has not made us different so we can dominate others. Allah has made us different so that we would know each other, so that we would be kind to each other, so life would be interesting. Have we ever thought that? Allah has made this amazing, beautiful world for us because He does not just want us to sit down and do tasbih all the time. The angels worship Him all the time. Allah wants us to live an interesting life. He wants us to live a life that is full of curiosity and knowledge. He wants us to travel the world, see different things, cultures, people, understand them, and then be dumbfounded in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the God of all of those people. Sometimes when we live in our own little bubble, we don't realize, we don't think that Allah has anything to do with those other creatures. Perhaps they may be your neighbors, but simply because they're from a different culture or religion, or they have a different skin color, we really don't think that Allah belongs to them. They belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah takes care of them as well. And Allah has just as thoughtfully designed them as He has thoughtfully designed you. This is all a test for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be engaged in this world. Because when He says that the differences in your languages, your skin colors, your heritage is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, this is His sign, then to read His sign, to ponder over His sign, this is a matter of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why does Allah say at the end of this particular ayah, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ عِلْمٍ. People who have ilm and knowledge, because to learn a different language, to get to know different people of different cultures, different heritages, this is a part of knowledge. You are increasing your knowledge base. And when we do that, when we get to know people, we can ultimately invite them to the best of things, to Islam. And at least our hujjah will be over. Whether they accept Islam or not, that is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants us to be curious, inquisitive, learn different languages, take up anthropology, read sociology, psychology, travel the world, and then recognize Allah. Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. And of His signs is your sleep by night and day, and your seeking of His bounty. The way we go to sleep, it's impossible for us to stay awake after a couple of days, or even perhaps 24 hours for some people. Our body just naturally takes over. This is a purpose. Why does it do that? Because we need that rest. And even if our body is not tired, the mind needs to rest. Our ideas need to come to a halt so that we are rejuvenated in the morning. And who designed that? What if we couldn't sleep at all? You know what happens to people who can't sleep at all? They have to inject themselves with medication because they can't sleep. It drives them crazy. Imagine the horror of being awake day after day, week after week, night after night, months at a time. There are people who cannot sleep for months at a time. What a horrible state to be in. May Allah protect us from that. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. This is His mercy. Allah says amongst His signs is your sleep by night and day and your seeking of His bounty. Sometimes you have to sleep during the day, the short nap that you take. Others have to sleep by day and work at night. So Allah says your seeking of His bounty, you're finding work, you're working. You have that purpose too, don't you? Your sleep, there's a purpose behind your sleep. There's a purpose behind your work. You need sustenance. You need a job. Allah says, indeed in that are signs for a people who listen. لِقَوْمِ يَسْمَعُونَ. So how can all of this be useless? Allah says, and of His signs is that He shows you the lightning causing fear and aspiration. And He sends down rain from the sky, by which He brings to life the earth after its lifelessness. From something frightening comes something good. Allah says, indeed in that are signs for a people who use reason. لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ عَقْلٍ. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. And of His signs is that the heaven and earth stand by His command. Then when He calls you with a single call from the earth, immediately you will come forth. We will come forth from our graves with a single sound. Imagine waking up for Fajr. With the Fajr Adhan, you have a call, and then we get out of beds and start doing wudu to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an exercise we do 5 times a day. Allah says with a single call on that day, you will come. And to Him belongs whoever is in the heavens and earth. All the people, belong to Him. All are to Him devoutly obedient. Every single thing in the heavens and the earth is devoutly obedient. Kullu lahu qanitun, for Allah. And it is He who begins creation, then repeats it. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ. بَدَأَ means to create someone out of nothing. There was no preconceived design. There was not even a hint about it before. The first, the very unique thing. Allah says to Him belongs the highest description in the heavens and earth. Because nothing is like Allah. وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And He is the exalted in might, the wise.